We're in the book of Galatians today, chapter 6. Verses 1 through 5. When we think of boundaries, I think the first thing most of us think of is, if we own property, about the boundaries around our house. And I remember when we were having our house built on Clover Bend Drive up near Indian Trail years ago. They finished the house. They put a utility building out in the backyard. The lots on the backside of our property were still for sale. No one had built any houses on that back boundary yet. So we moved in, lived there. I don't know, must have been several months. Finally, we noticed one day they were doing work on the property right behind us. And we said, well, we're going to get our neighbor back there, our first neighbor. And that work went along. And I think it was about the time that that house was pretty much completed. No doubt they had did something to have another look at the boundary. Probably getting things ready for the homeowners to get a loan, and you know, maybe a title search was done. I don't know. Anyhow, the fellows who worked for the company, the contractor who had built our house and was building that house, they walked up. I think I was out in the backyard mowing. They walked up to me. They said, your utility building is over on your neighbor's property. I said, really? I said, that's where you put it. It seems to me that it's not my problem, but yours. They agreed. I said, what are you going to do? They said, we're going to move it. Now, this was a utility building that they had stick built. It had a concrete floor. All that, you know, I thought, they're going to move it? I want to see this. So they got together and started figuring things out. See, when in the real world with physical property, there are laws that protect us. When we have boundaries, physical boundaries, the law sets that up, and they have records at the register of deeds, and there's just all kinds of things to protect your property rights when you have boundaries. See, the false teachers of the Galatian churches, the false teachers had crossed certain boundaries with the churches of Galatia. I want to just read these five verses in Galatians 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. When relationships have no boundaries, one person in the relationship may try to live a selfless, loving life, while the other person is selfish and does not mind trying to control the other party. Now, the one who is selfless and wants things to work out, they may try harder to make things work, but that's not the answer. They may just be nice out of fear, and that's not the answer. Or they may try to take responsibility for the other person, and that's always going to fail. A person with no boundaries suffers from severe difficulties in taking ownership of his or her life. Two doctors, years and years ago, Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend, wrote a book entitled Boundaries. And I'd recommend you to get that. We, at Midway Baptist Church, we actually had a small group Bible study, and we went all the way through that book. There was a leader's guide, and people read each chapter, and we discussed it, and there was a lot of learnings that came from that study. Back in the Garden of Eden, God told Adam and Eve about ownership. He said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Genesis 1:28. The lesson, there are certain tasks to take on and there are tasks not designed for us to do. Any confusion of responsibility and ownership in our lives is a problem with boundaries. Just as homeowners set physical property lines around their land, we need to set mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual boundaries for our lives to help us distinguish what is our responsibility and what is not. If we would do this, our relationships with others would be much richer, and our own personal health, mental health, emotional, spiritual health, we would be much healthier if we realized where our boundaries begin and end. And the Lord is the one who helps us to know where those boundaries are and what they are about. You know, I think every team sport that is played has rules that include boundaries. You play football, you go across the sideline, you're out of play. You play basketball, you go across the line, you're out of play. In baseball, you run to three bases. You don't do like the little boy that I saw one time playing T-ball, come up and whack that ball, and he starts running to third. Even within our boundaries, there are certain directions we're supposed to go. Right? Yeah. In football, you don't, as the opposing team, you don't line up and your opponent's goal is in front of you and kick a field goal. You don't do that. They're going to get the 3 points. Even in team sports, there's rules. There's guidelines that we have to follow. Why shouldn't life be that way? Well, let me tell you, life is that way. There are boundaries. Let's talk about the boundaries. The first point that we have is just simply boundaries. I want to talk to you about the different kinds of boundaries. First of all, there's physical boundaries. We've already mentioned that. Physical boundaries that we can see. That includes fences, signs, moats with alligators. You better believe I would notice that one. Well-kept lawns. Our neighbor over to the side of us, She doesn't keep her yard mowed very often. And so it's real easy to tell where her property ends and ours begins. Because I keep our yard mowed. So just a well-kept yard can show a boundary. Not so much today as it used to be. I remember as a kid, this used to be all the time. But hedges, you know, shrubbery, many times, are put on the property line. Well, see, physical boundaries make a visible property line, revealing that someone holds a deed. In the spiritual world, boundaries are just as real, but harder to see. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." The word keep there is mishmar, and that means to watch over or guard. We are to guard our heart with all diligence. Now, knowing where our boundaries are is part of that work. Boundaries define us. They define what is in us and what is not in us, leading us to a sense of ownership. We must own our lives, or our choices are going to be very limited. We are responsible to others and to ourselves. Again, verse 2 that we read, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." See, Christ saved us. In life, we have burdens, and sometimes we have excessive burdens that weigh us down. Another word for load is cargo, or the burden of toil. The everyday things we all need to do. These loads are like backpacks. We are expected to carry our own backpack. We are expected to deal with our own feelings, attitudes, and behaviors, as well as the responsibilities God has given us. When we refuse to receive help for carrying a heavy load, we may find ourselves in endless pain. So often, people need to talk to someone. They need to share their burden. They need to get it off their chest. And so many times, they don't find that person and do that. Carrying the load on their own, thinking, "I don't want to bother someone else." But God tells us that we should seek out wise counsel. God talks about us talking to Him. First of all, we need to share our hearts with God. And that can help so much. That can, in many cases, that can take care of the matter. We can find ourselves more at ease. We can have a clear conscience simply by talking to God. But also, there are times when we need to talk to a friend, a pastor, a deacon, a Sunday school teacher, someone whom you trust, someone who exhibits a knowledge of the Word of God, someone who lives their life in such a manner that you know that their life experience has shown them God's wisdom, and they live that wisdom out. You need those people in your life that you can share with. To be healthy, we must know where our boundaries of responsibilities are and where the other person's responsibility begins. We need to separate that out in our mind and know that. Boundaries help us to distinguish our property so that we can take care of it. They help us to guard our heart with all diligence. We need to keep things that will nurture us inside our fences and keep things that will harm us outside of our fences. Boundaries help us to keep the good in and let go of the bad. When we're carrying a burden, and that burden is weighing us down, we need to let go of it. We need to let God have it. Matthew 7:6, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Hold on to your pearls while keeping the pigs out. Pretty simple, isn't it? Hold on to the good. Let go of the bad. Now, you say, well, what are you talking about, the bad? Well, it could be a memory, a bad memory. It could be that you've not forgiven someone. It could be that something traumatic happened in your life and you've never healed from that event. It can be all kinds of things. There are certain things that God does not want us to keep within our boundaries. He wants us to let them go. Sometimes we have to talk about it. Sometimes it may just simply be coming to God and say, Lord God, take this away. And He will. Take away the bad memory. Take away the consequences. Take away whatever. And He'll do it. All right. Let's talk about some examples of boundaries. We're going to get real basic here, because the first example of boundaries is our skin. Our skin, that's a boundary. When you reach out to shake hands with someone else and that you shake hands, that's two boundaries coming together. And you're saying hello, it's nice to meet you, or I hope you're having a good day, or whatever the greeting is. But the first boundary is our skin. We're all individuals. Another boundary is words. The most basic boundary setting word is no. Let's practice that word. No. Many people have a hard time saying no. We may get overloaded. We may get too much on our plate. We may think that we always have to say yes. Oh, to be a good Christian, I've always got to say yes. To be a good person, I've always got to say yes. But it's okay to say no. That will lay a boundary. Yes, sir. That's right. No. Because they heard it so much from you. But that's what we do with little children. Much of what we say to them in the beginning is no. Because if they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to get in trouble, they're going to get hurt, or whatever it may be. So it's natural. We learn it at an early age. But many times we'll get older and we'll forget the word no, taking on anything and everything. Another boundary is truth. That's a powerful boundary. You reap what you sow. So if you'll sow truth, you'll reap truth. Always deal with things that are trustworthy. Another boundary is geographical distance. Proverbs 22:3, the prudent man sees the evil and hides himself. If evil is lurking around the corner, you don't want to go near it. You want to stay away from evil. That means being in the right places at the right time with the right people. Or it could just be something within your own heart. Satan's trying to tempt you to do some evil, and you just say, "No, Lord, I'm not going there. Lord, protect me." And he will. Another boundary is time. Now, you may not understand this in the beginning, but I want you to think about it. When you're dealing with young children, and you're dealing with time, believe it or not, children need short periods of time away from parents so they can learn to set their own boundaries. Now that they're just with grandma or grandpa, or they're in the church nursery, or it doesn't have to be long periods of time. But in their early formative years, children need a little bit of time away from mom and dad so they can learn to set their own boundaries. When we let little toddlers play with one another, they set boundaries. If you'll watch them, a little kid has a toy. Another little kid comes over and says, "Huh, I want that toy. Give that to me." Second kid takes the toy. What does the first kid do? He set a boundary. He's saying, "I want that toy back. I had that first." Before they can ever learn to talk, they're doing these things. So there's a lot they can learn in time spent in other places. Another boundary is emotional distance, a temporary boundary to give the heart space it needs to be safe. Now, in dealing with people, spouses who go through abusive situations, many times it's the lady who's abused. And when this happens, she needs space until the abusive partner begins to face his or her problem. So we have shelters for battered women. We have shelters for abused women. And they can go to these shelters and they're in a safe place. And they can stay there as long as they need to. And in the meantime, if the abusing partner is seeking out help, there can be a change. But sometimes there needs to be space, and that's a boundary. Another boundary that all of us have is our feelings. Feelings should neither be ignored nor placed in charge. See, some people ignore their feelings. They don't consider their feelings. But then other people go the other way, and everything they decide is based on feeling. The Bible says to own your feelings and be aware of them. You know what it means when it says own them? Realize this is you. And realize that this is important, it's significant. The Good Samaritan's pity moved him to assist the injured Jew. Luke 10:33. Think about that story. The Good Samaritan. He was moved by compassion. That's a feeling. He didn't stand there and try to weigh out the pros and cons. He knew the right thing to do was to help that man. Another boundary, attitudes and beliefs. Attitudes have to do with your orientation towards something. It's the stance you take toward others and God and life and work and relationship. What's your attitude about life in general? Is your attitude usually negative, or is your attitude usually positive? Your attitudes and beliefs mold you. They make you who you are. And they dictate how you interact with God and with other people. It filters down in every area of your life and relationship. Beliefs are anything you accept as true. We must own our beliefs and attitudes. We need to realize where we are in beliefs and attitudes. People with boundary problems usually have distorted attitudes about responsibility. They feel that to hold people responsible for their feelings, choices, and behaviors is unkind. But Proverbs repeatedly says that setting limits and accepting responsibility will save lives. Proverbs 13. Setting limits and accepting responsibility. Setting limits. We know how to set limits with our children, but do we know how to set limits with our fellow man? It goes back to that thing of being able to say no. That's one way you set limits. But also, a couple of weeks ago, we were at the football game at Walter Bickett Stadium watching our grandson play football. And naturally, we were sitting on the cata side, and a group of parents were up there, and just a few rows down was a set of parents, one of the boys playing. And this is the first time I've ever heard this man throw out a curse word, but he said a curse word directed towards the referee. Surprise, surprise. And my son-in-law, Neil, he was standing up a few rows back. And he said, "Hey, watch your mouth." And the father turned around to Neil and said, "I'm sorry." I mean, sometimes we need to set limits in the crowd. We need to let our light shine. When evil or temptation or bad behavior is presenting itself, if the Christian does not stand up and say, "Wait, this is not good," if the Christian's not going to do it, who is? So we're involved in setting boundaries and observing boundaries every day, every minute of every day. Another boundary is behaviors. A man reaps what he sows. Galatians 6, 7, and 8. On the positive side, you reap what you sow. On the positive side, if we go to work, we get a paycheck. If we exercise, we'll lose weight and have better health, usually. If we act lovingly towards others, we will have close relationships. On the negative side, if we sow idleness, irresponsibility, or out-of-control behavior, we can expect to reap poverty, failure, and the effects of loose living. These are natural consequences of our behavior. See, sowing and reaping has to do with consequences. And consequences is a law. It's just like the law of gravity. The law of consequences is a law. That means it is set in place, and as soon as something is sown, then from that point on, there's going to be something that is reaped or harvested. The problem arises when someone interprets the law of sowing and reaping in another person's life. We need to see the law of sowing and reaping in our own life as well. We need to follow that. That's one of the ways God keeps us on the right track. If, say, we do fall to the temptation, say we do the sin, we do bad behavior, the Holy Spirit is telling us when we're doing it, this is not right. This is wrong. But in addition to that, there's going to be a consequence to our action. And we experience that consequence. We say, oh, this is why I'm experiencing that consequence. I don't want to do that again. You say, well, ask God to forgive you and the consequence will go away. No, it won't. The consequence is a law. It's going to happen. If I were to throw my Bible up in the air, I know it would fall to the floor because of the law of gravity. So the same thing happens in our actions. A person's drinking or abuse should have consequences for the drinker or the abuser. And they do. Proverbs 15:10, stern discipline awaits him who leaves the path. God said that. To rescue people from the natural consequences of their behavior is to make them powerless. Many times this is what parents will do with their children. Their children will do something wrong, and the parents step in to rescue them. So many times you hear of young people driving recklessly, young people going out and getting drunk, young people doing something against the law. The police apprehend them. Take them into the station. The parents show up. Pay their bail. Get a high-priced lawyer. And get them off with a slap on the wrist. Now, has the law of consequences done its work there? No. No. It's not. I've never had a child that had to go to jail, but I always had the thought, if one of them have to go to jail, I'm going to let them spend the night. I think that'll break them. What's it going to hurt for them to spend the night in jail? It'll teach them an invaluable lesson. But many times, parents, when children do wrong, parents will yell and nag instead of just allowing their children to reap the natural consequences of their behavior. You really don't have to say anything. The consequences are coming. Parenting with love limits, with warmth and consequences, produces confident children who have a sense of control over their lives. That's what we want in their lives, isn't it? A sense of control. Another boundary is choices. We need to take responsibility for our choices. This leads to the fruit of self-control. A common boundary problem is not owning our choices. We like to say, I had to do this. Or she made me do this. Isn't that what happened with Adam? She made me do it. We must realize that we are in control of our choices no matter how we feel. One prime example of this is the prodigal son. The prodigal son was over there in that faraway country, and he was eating with the pigs, and he got to thinking. He said, you know, my father's servants have it better than this. Well, one thing, he made a choice to leave his father, but thank God he made a choice to go back. The prodigal son realized what his boundaries were. And when he went back home, he had a newfound respect for his father. But his father respected him as well because he came out running to greet him. Both father and son learned more about boundaries. It was the other son who didn't have a clue about boundaries. Just a couple more. Values. Values is a boundary. What we value is what we love and give the most importance. Boundaries help us not to deny, but to own our old hurtful values so God can change them. So we need to do that. We need to own our values that were hurtful and wrong and give them to God and say, God, I know I was wrong there. Help me to have the right values. And those values ought to be biblical values, first of all. And the last one is limits. We want to set limits on other people. Actually, we can only set limits on ourselves. Our own exposure to people who are behaving badly, we can't change them or make them act right. All we can do is pray for them. We can have limits on our side. I'm not going to take part in that activity. That's my choice. But you can pray for that other person that they would change. See, God sets standards Himself, but He allows people to be who they are. God says, you can be that way if you choose, but you cannot come into my house. Heaven is a place for the repentant. And everyone who's repentant are welcome in God's house. God even limits His exposure to evil in unregenerate people. And we should do the same. What we should be doing with the unregenerate people is praying for them, witnessing to them, leading them to Christ, not taking part in their sin. Well, going back to the story about my utility building, our contractor chose to move the building onto my profit, on my property, at no cost to me. And you know, they did a great job. The concrete floor was kept intact, didn't have any cracks or fissures. They didn't have to move it but just a few feet, but they had to literally pick it up and come over and put it down within my property lines. That way, my neighbor was happy. I was happy. Union County was happy. The bank was happy. See, when we stay within the right boundaries, everybody's okay. And in life, we have those boundaries all the day long. The main boundary that I want to end on is that of holiness. God wants us to be holy. And when we live within the parameters of holy living, we please God, but we also reap a wonderful life. And that holiness can be passed on to our children, our grandchildren. It can be passed on to friends around us. That's what a testimony is. a testimony of God's holiness in our lives. So today, I want to just challenge you. Let your testimony shine for Jesus. Let people see that you have boundaries. Also, at times, you need to know how to say no. Don't take on so much that you can't be effective for the Lord. Have your priorities in the right place. God first, family second, ministry third. Have your priorities in the right place, and God will bless you. We're going to have a time of invitation if you need to come to the altar. The altar's open to you. And if you just need to, maybe you've got some boundary issues. Maybe you just need the Lord to take those things. Talking to God about it will make a difference. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your teaching, your precious word. And Lord, help us to be people of the book. Help us that we'll know the book, the Bible, the Word of God, and that we will live out the principles that we find within its pages. And Lord, help us to set proper limits in our life. Help us just to hear you, the Holy Spirit, as you direct us in these issues. And thank you, Lord, for just enriching our lives through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. In His name I pray.